You know, he spoke many different languages. He learned Hebrew so that he could study Judaism. He studied Buddhism and Islam. He studied all kinds of different Christian theology. He got more mail than anybody in America and responded personally to every letter. It just made me realize, like, this was a person on a mission. That is kind of the, I guess it's the spoiler alert here, which is that Mr. Rogers is even more Mr. Rogers than Mr. Rogers seems. So Fred Rogers was a more willful, intellectual, complex, dimensional version of Mr. Rogers, but he is kind of the same man.
One of the things that stands out is that he had thought for a while of perhaps becoming a clergyman, and that he channeled all of that love and energy and education and spirituality into a show for children that you wouldn't ordinarily or automatically think that, this is someone who is ministering to our spiritual needs while he's entertaining.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because he was going to go into the seminary right out of college when he first saw television and changed his life's course. And I think the timing of that was so fortuitous. He realized that this new technology was going to change our culture and that somebody could do something very positive with it, not just sell toys and sugar to kids. And so he postponed the seminary. He eventually did go back and became a full Presbyterian minister. But at that point, he was already working in children's television. And when he graduated from the presbytery, his ordination declared that his ministry would be television. So I would not be surprised to think that Fred Rogers might be the first official televangelist in the world.
When did Fred Rogers die? And what do you think he would make of our world today?
So he died 15 years ago in 2003. You know, if he struggled with what the world was doing in his day, it's only gotten more divisive and worsened since then. So ultimately, he was an optimistic person. And I think there were three main ideas that he came back to again and again that were how he coped with bad things. And they were faith, pardon, and love. And I think all three of those are incredibly interesting, particularly, you know, pardon. He was not somebody who believed in holding on to anger, and he was not judgmental. I think he really wanted to understand why people did bad things. And by understanding, we can get to the root of it. And I think in Fred's estimation, the root of virtually all of this bad behavior stems from a lack of love or from an abundance of fear.
Won't you please, please won't you be my neighbor? And so we're neighbors again today. I'm glad to be with you.